Hello, people in the room. Hello, people online. Yes, welcome. We're on our number 8 of our get-togethers for the Vajrasattva recitations. And first off, you'll all be thrilled to know that I did manage to start some more editing of the sound files. But what's up there newly today is a tiny little file of Geshe-la saying the mantra in quite a technical way. So he's not chanting it, but he's saying the really clean, clear pronunciation. So there's that, just a little file of that. There's a short teaching on, once the initiation was given, of what activities we're now empowered to do. So the four activities: peace, increase, power, and wrath. So there's a little teaching on that with its accompanying transcript. And then there's the main teaching on the mudras. So that's quite long, but that's up there too. So everybody's homework is to watch the one of the mudras, and we'll try and tackle them between now and then. So I must admit that when I was going through, I just realized, wow, I don't know anything about the mudras. This is really something that once it's edited and up there, I would suggest between now and our last get together Friday fortnight, go and look at those videos and see if you can do them and practice them, and then we can come back with questions. Because there's a lot of them that are new to me, and so I'm on the same page as all of you in terms of learning. But yeah, they were interspersed, if you remember, throughout the entire weekend. Geshe-la would say, oh, by the way, I have some more. Another one and another one. And so I managed to find them all and put them all together. Anyway, so as our getting started tonight, let's just take a moment to settle our posture and then settle our motivation. So the posture, the two-point posture, is always having a straight spine and a relaxed body. So it's a way of like tuning your body and mind ready for meditation, not too tight and not too loose. So in particular, the spine does the work of supporting our body. Feel that each vertebrae is like a pile of coins, one on top of the other, each supporting the one above it, so that you can feel your posture is stable, your spine is straight. And then relax your shoulders, release any tension held in the neck and the shoulders. Pull the shoulders back a bit so that the breathing is free, the heart and heart chest area is open. And then remembering why we are here. More often than not, there is a fairly immediate reason that brings us to meditation. And also, more often than not, there is a way that we can deepen our motivation to make sure that it's a Dharma purpose, not just for this life and not just for our current problems, but that we're here so that we can put an end to all suffering, and understanding karmic cause and effect. We need to remove the causes of suffering if we don't want the result of suffering. And the very, very best way to do this is through purification practice. And the very best purification practice is the Vajrasattva practice. But also, this is a Mahayana practice. Our main motivation is the benefit of others. The main purpose of our life, the benefit of others. What makes our life meaningful is benefiting others. And the very best benefit that we can bring them is to bring them to enlightenment, to free them of suffering and its causes and bring them to enlightenment. So to do that, we ourselves need to become enlightened. So we can recite the prayer to generate bodhicitta, which is in the Gold Prayer Book, on page 229, to refresh our motivation. And of course, we can always think about current events and our own personal problems and issues and aspirations, that kind of fleshes it out, makes it feel real, but don't just leave it at that. Include everybody in the same boat, everybody on the planet, everyone in all the realms. So page 229. With the wish to free all beings, I shall always go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha until I reach full enlightenment. Inspired by wisdom and compassion, today in the Buddha's presence, I generate the mind of full awakening for the benefit of all sentient beings. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. Okay, so we've set our motivation. How's everyone been going with their practices? So just doing the minimum is fine. And yeah, there's quite a few people doing like a double degree, doing their refuge nongdros and their vajrasattvas. And yeah, as long as we fulfill the commitment, coming along to these is a great way of accumulating more mantras. The other thing that's eventuated that seems to be the go-to measuring stick for how bad a traffic jam is that I've noticed people say was, oh, the traffic was so bad, I got two whole vajrasattva malas done. Or I got one whole vajrasattva mala done. And occasionally, today, last time told me, was it today or the other day? It was a 3-mala vajrasattva traffic jam. So that's like, so far, that's the pinnacle, like we can really... Anyway, it's a wonderful way to measure things, isn't it? But think of everybody being showered with light in the traffic jam. The way I accumulate most of my mantras, I start them off in the morning, and then whenever I'm on the bus or walking along South Bank, that's when I get to do them. I can't do them at the gym because they have music playing and I can't concentrate enough on not falling over or tripping or being clumsy. The music and the vajrasattva mantra is like, no, too many things going on. So I can do short mantras, but not the long ones. And of course, everybody, you do know that we've got an extra year up our sleeve. We're all going to need it, aren't we? That's right. This one's takes a little bit more effort, I think, but I think that's because it's purification. Purification takes that kind of effort. Coming up in 2026 is Guru Bumsog, so we don't have to be finished till 2027.
I'd just like to say that after my, I think the last time I was in person, I hadn't been doing very well, and I have rebooted and I've done, I think those traffic jams must be awfully long traffic jams because it takes me a long time to do a mala. I've done 1,000 refuges. I'm back on the wagon, and funnily enough, I'm getting a lot more out of the refuges. And I previously was doing it, the refuge and bodhicitta thing together, because that just felt better. But now I'm just doing the straight quickest way. And to my surprise, it seems to be meaning when I end it, and then I sometimes can't stop. I get a bit obsessive and think, oh, just another one. It's going so well.
I think the nature of the refuge nongdro is that it's energy creating, and it makes you feel better and better. It's really nice. And so in the end, you have, you know, all these great friends, the refuge field, your great friends that will never leave you. They're there. And that's quite special. So I think that one, like, created its own energy for everybody. And then, of course, the vajrasattva, the purification, it's a little bit trickier because we're purifying negativity. So we have to spend a bit of focus on the negativities. So that's not as pleasant. It's a little bit trickier. I somehow suspect that the whole process that we're going through of falling off the wagon, that's also a negativity, isn't it, that needs to be purified. The only way we can purify is if we recognize negativities. So that means having a lot of courage to go, oh, this is an afflictive state of mind, to regret things. That's also not a pleasant feeling. Mm-hmm. So it takes a bit more, and I'm really certain that's why Geshe-la wanted us to do the refuge first, so that we didn't just fall off the wagon and be dispirited and not do it. That seems to be a common thing. We really need to have enough good energy to keep it going.
Regarding, I'm also doing the double whammy, the refuge, non-growth and the Vajrasattva, and I started the Vajrasattva first, but it's okay because at the end of the day, I've got lots of regrets and lots of things to purify. So I've been sticking with that. But with the refuge, I've been flying a lot of I've been on a lot of flights this year, so I always do them on flying, which is great because you're stuck there and you can just rip through.
Geshe-la's said we can do whatever combination that we wanted. We didn't have to pick one and stick with it. We could change it. Do the same thing. I start off with the longer version, and then once that's kind of, you just want to do the longer version anyway because you know you want to mention everybody. Then after that, then I do the shorter version. But if you're on a plane, you can also do what I found. On public transport can be really nice is just doing, so in the Tibetan, just doing the, say, the take refuge in the Guru or take refuge in the Buddha for a whole mantra. Sorry, a whole mala.
Yeah,
and
right.
So you can really get into the flow of that. But of course, yeah. You have to know that you've got enough time to do four malas, Guru, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Otherwise... Lama la kyapsu chiwo, lama la kyapsu chiwo, lama la kyapsu chiwo, lama la kyapsu chiwo, and so on. So it's really nice to do it in the Tibetan.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
So it'll be on the handout that's called All the Different Refuge Variations.
That I've just been plugging along, but I've been doing the non-refuge because I was so far behind with that. And I do 500 of those every night, and then I try and do just the 20 or 25 or 30 of the Vajrasattva. What I'm doing when I'm doing Vajrasattva, I actually end up sort of, if I'm not paying attention, I'm actually doing the refuge one again. So I've got to go back to the start. Yeah, so I get mixed up. Yeah.
In Francesca, in the instructions of how to recite, so remember not too loud, not too soft, not too fast, not too slow, not adding in words, not losing words, not doing something else at the same time. So I always thought, because of course in my mind I'm thinking like, oh, Mani Padme Hum, how would you add in an extra word to that? Well, hey, once you're on the 100 syllable mantra, it's really easy to miss a word. So what it shows us is that we've gone into subtle syncing. So we're kind of still there, but we're dulled. So we're on autopilot. And before you know it, now you're saying the refuge or now you're saying Vajrasattva and you've missed out Anuruttu the whole time. Or, yeah, that's right. So it's just an indication that we need to sharpen our mind a little bit. So I found that
it's more like paying attention, I think.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Stephen Ann said, much relief in the room here to hear that we have longer.
So. Oh, yes, that's right, that we have longer, yeah. Yeah, so how to say the mantras. Also, I was reading on the Discovering Buddhism, the integration activities, so Unit 14. And so part of that is to do your 100,000. So the 100,000 there is 100,000 Vajrasattvas and 100,000 prostrations. And in the instructions there from Lama Zopa Rinpoche was you try and do them every day. But if you miss a day, don't stress. Just make up for it the next day and keep going. It was really nice. So I think Westerners are really like hardcore and hard on themselves and kind of perfectionistic, and so we need to just relax a little bit. And so that's there for the Discovering Buddhism. So, you know, you can't let it go like 2 days or 3 days, but if you fall off, you just get back on again straight away and don't make a big deal about it. So that was really nice to hear. The other thing that occurred to me was that when I was like super exhausted and having my nervous breakdown, and my therapist, my counselor was saying, because I was so tired that I would be lying there and I just thought I might just stop breathing. Like I was so tired that I'd breathe out and there'd be this huge long pause before I'd breathe in again. And I wasn't sure if it would ever happen. I was just like sinking through the bed into the ground. And so she was saying that actually when you're when you're trying to recover from something, you spend a bit of time trying to recover until that acute episode's over. But then you've got to have half the time rest and the other half the time doing something you love. So you've got to do something, you put energy, you expend energy, you put something back in the tank, but it's something you love. It's not something you feel guilty about, I should be doing. So find something that you love doing and actually start doing a thing that you love. And it took a couple of years before I could actually do anything. So mostly I was just kind of catatonically resting. And then I just started doing something. And I think the thing I started doing was crochet. And but I think with this, it's like we have that half and half. Half of it is the purifying, which is hard work, and the other half is the putting in the thing you love, which is the refuge. And it's a really good balance. And so most of us have done the refuge, so we've got that stamina. Again, if we fall off the wagon or if we get tired, not to worry, because the meta-analysis of that is purify the tiredness. Because that's part of it. Remember, like in Jungnaes, you go through that whole cycle of at first it's just dealing with sleepiness and exhaustion, and it's like purifying the animal realms, like the stupidity of the animal realms, and then it's like the hunger, and it's like purifying the praetor realms, and then you get through all of that, and then there'll be all the crankiness comes in, and you know, purifying the hot hells, the cold hells, all of the anger. And then you think, okay, I'm done. I've purified all of the horrible states of existence. And then there's a bit in the Jungnae where you just get bored about midway. Jungnae 5 is just dead dull boring. So it's kind of like purifying, in a way, it's like purifying the human existence, because they call us the fearless state, the fearless realms, in that we have no fear. We have no fear of the lower realms. We have no fear of losing this opportunity. I always thought, oh, the fearless ones means we're courageous. No, it means we're missing the point. We should be frightened. We have no fear. So that's kind of like that dull state. You know, haven't quite sharpened our mind with the hey, our life actually could end at any moment, so let's seize the day. And then if you get through that in the Jungnaes, then you get to purify the upper realms. So then you start blissing out on the meditations. You start grooving on the meditations, having a really nice time, and you don't want anyone to ruin the vibe. So all of it, then purifying the upper realms, the bliss, also purifying the jealousy. Oh, they seem to be doing really well. Why can't I be like them? So we go through all of that. So I think also with Vajrasattva, all the experiences that we have, they're things to purify. It's part of the program. The other thing, of course, because it's about purification, which means purifying karma and anything that is ripening karma. You know, it's like the wheel of sharp weapons coming back. So whatever's happening, the difficult situations, they've already ripened. In a way, that seed is gone, they're purified. But what it can help us do is think, okay, I'm going to purify all of the afflictive states of mind that led to that, so I never have to experience something like this again. So that's the really big thing. So I was thinking today, we don't have the wheel of sharp weapons in Australia. What we've got is the karmic boomerang. You know, so if anyone's ever thrown a boomerang, like the harder you throw it, the harder it comes back at you. And it's an uncanny feeling to aim a boomerang at something and it hits it and it comes back. It's just a totally wild kind of instrument. So yes, we've got a karmic boomerang happening. So any experience that we have, that's a karmic boomerang coming back at us. So we can extrapolate out what it was that caused it. It's got to be similar to the result. And then whatever karmic boomerang experience we've had that day, at the minimum, we purify those causes that night. So that way, traffic jams, people yelling at you, being tired, any unpleasant experience can then become helpful for our meditation to purify those causes. I always try and, in puja, I try and dedicate for everyone that's cross at me. So then I use all of those experiences of people being cross at me to try and purify, well, what are the causes of that, the karmic causes?
I think one of the best things that I'm finding is now when I get crabby or swear or do something, I actually just go into the automatic Vajrasattva mode, whether it's the short one or the long one, because I'm starting to realise, and I think Geshe Zopa did it one day too, you know, where he sort of said, oh, look, got to purify straight away, you know, sort of thing. And, you know, rather than waiting till the end of the day, because by the end of the day, I can't remember what I did at lunchtime. Getting more into that, you know, I'm aware that I've, you know, been angry and spoken harshly. And yeah, and then I sort of do it. So I walk around saying it a lot during the day, but I don't count those as my nondros. They're just repairing the moment.
If you're doing the short ones, you probably wouldn't count them. As to what to count, I've just kind of, if I've got a thing in my hand to count, then I count them. And if I'm just walking along and I don't have my counter, I don't count them. Clicker, yep. Or if you've got your fingers and you're counting, you're actually counting, then you can count them. But if you're just saying them, which we want to be doing anyway, that's okay. But the counting is actually counting. So when you're doing a strict retreat, you actually only count full malas. Yeah. And I have heard it was permissible to have a bead at like 54 of the mala, and you could count a half a mala. So I think we're kind of a little bit more fortunate here that even though we're doing a few mantras here and a few mantras there, it's all going to end up, you know, because we're doing an open retreat. So I think that's really kind. There's a process in meditation. So many people either can't visualize or can't say the mantras and visualize at the same time, and that's perfectly okay. So the first thing is that we think visualization is visual, but it's not, it's imaginary. So everybody can imagine. Everyone can imagine a holiday. Doesn't mean you visualize a holiday, but you can imagine it. So however you imagine something or think about something or remember something or anticipate something, that's all visualization. So that we kind of, because it has the word visual in it, we think it's to do with images, but it's not. It's to do with experiences. And so one of the most powerful things for doing the Vajrasattva, especially with light, is I imagine it as how when music fills you. You know, when you're listening to music and it's quite subtle because your whole experience changes. You're filled with the music, your conceptuality stops, but it's nothing visual about it. That kind of experience I find I can bring into the meditation. The other thing that years ago that Geshe Tashi Sering said is that you generally, when you do the mantras, first you do the visualization of the light streaming down into you, and you just sit there and you experience that. And it's actually written like that in our little tiny pocket booklet, where it's, you know, the meaning of the mantra, and then it says, so page 13, just before the meaning, the moon disc, the mantra garland, and a stream of white nectar flows from the Hooman mantra garland. You are cleansed of all sicknesses, spirit harm, negative karma, and obscurations. So you just sit there and experience that without doing anything else. Whether you experience it as like music filling you or as light or a sensation, whatever you can, and you try and experience that as intensely as you can. And then you can recite the mantra. And then when you're reciting the mantra, then you just focus on the mantra. You don't have to do the two things at once. That's fine. Lama Tsongkhapa had it covered. He said, that's fine. Yeah. And many people can have a much more focused and powerful experience by doing it in two parts, the light and then the mantra. Being honest with yourself about what you regret picky, hard on yourself. So that takes courage, doesn't it, to look at the regret. The restraint is then naturally stronger if you've had a stronger regret. And then, but again, yeah, that's right. We think we're a nice person because we want to be a nice person. And then we look and we go, oh no, I shouldn't be let out of the house. You've ruined it. But in that instance, you've ruined it. Yeah. Yeah, except it's not exactly back at square one. It is a cycle, yeah. As you get better, as you go, do you feel more confident in yourself as a human being, that you know your own measure, or you're more, you can more trust content. Yourself, more content? So more content, less that you need to strive for things. I think all of this, like what you're describing, Dean, is that is the difficulty of purification, like it's not necessarily pleasant. Mm. Just like, you know, there's loving kindness meditations, which are inherently pleasant. There's compassion meditations. They're not pleasant because you're focusing on suffering. We've got to go, you know, we've got to have this program in our mind to know we're going to be looking at these things and then we're going to really deeply regret them and reassess ourselves as a human being. But the thing is that, remember, we're doing this from the context of being Vajrasattva. We've been empowered to arise as Vajrasattva. And so what we're purifying is our samsaric, our old samsaric being. So especially if you've had the initiation to remember to come back again and again, who is purifying? Who am I? I'm actually Vajrasattva. I'm a newly arisen, newly born Vajrasattva that is purifying my old samsaric self. You got to leave the guilt. That's right. And that's right. And so then even if it's a mountain of negativities, we're not going to get dispirited because that's the old self. And if you haven't had the initiation, then it's a similar thing. Then you think, actually, I have Vajrasattva potential. That's my nature. My nature is the same as Vajrasattva's. It's the same purity as Vajrasattva's. And so, therefore, let's not waste a moment in purifying all the rubbish that's on top of that precious gem. Yeah, if it was just negativities and just trying to get rid of negativities and we're doing it as a samsaric being, that is dispiriting, I think.